Welcome to the beginning of Missionary Day. I want to bring up just a couple of things to get us started. Over on the table here of their displays, besides their displays, they have a ministry sign-up sheet where you can get on their mailing list to receive their newsletter, join their prayer team, sign up for an appointment to meet with them, to talk about partnering with them. Make sure you check that out over there. There's one for Hannah and one for both of them, for Holly. Make sure if you are to donate to either of the missionaries or any of the missionaries that you either put WGM or Step Forward, whichever missionary you are. Both of these ladies are WGM. Make sure that you put on the check that it is specifically for WGM, or if you support Michelle, as several of you do, make sure you put Step Forward. And if you already support Holly, make sure that you go ahead and complete an envelope still and write on there that you have continued or you're renewing support with Holly, because Holly's been here in years past. WGM missionary to Paraguay, Hannah Johnson.
Good morning, everybody. I want us to take a second to imagine what it would be like to work a long week, Monday to Friday, your normal job, also to work a half day on Saturday, arrive at home Saturday afternoon, and begin to prepare your message to speak to your church Sunday morning. Oftentimes, pastors in Paraguay are up until 3 in the morning, turn around at 6 a.m. to head to church to get this message that they have prepared. In several conversations over the 2.5 years that I've been in Paraguay, I have heard from multiple different pastors how exhausted and overwhelmed they are and how they're looking for somebody in the next generation to take their place. Many of our pastors are bivocational, and so that six-day work week is a normal part of their life. And if you've ever been in ministry, you understand that a sermon doesn't just appear in an hour or even 2 hours sometimes. It takes time to study the word and to hear from the Lord. And so as I think about the ministry there in Paraguay, I think about these pastors. There are 8 congregations that we support as World Gospel Mission there in Paraguay. And each one has their own story of how the Lord has guided them into ministry and how the Lord has been faithful. But I think about how much more impact could be had if they were given the tools and the resources that they need in order to continue the work that the Lord is doing. One of the things that I learned as I was preparing for missions is the fact that the people who are already in that culture are better able to reach those who are in the culture. And so if we as missionaries, those coming, could find those people who are already making a difference, who are already saying yes to the Lord, and better encourage and support them, that they are the ones who will make the difference in the rest of their community. And so as I look forward to heading back, our field together as a team is asking, how do we support these people? How do we continue spreading the word? How do we encourage these pastors? I think there's a picture on the screen of pastors praying for each other. Back in October, we gathered together as a whole denomination. And at one point in time, they had all the pastors and the missionaries get up. And this beautiful moment happened where the pastors were praying over one another. And these are pastors who have been serving in the churches for a long time, but each in their own church and in their own sphere. And haven't really had the connection with one another that provides that community support that we need, the encouragement to say you are not alone in this, the encouragement to remind them what the Lord is doing, and that there has been growth and impact. And so I love this picture. It was such a beautiful moment just to see people praying for one another, seeing people who are exhausted and overwhelmed continuing to pour the little bit that is left in their jar out on another. So I want to close with a story of the jar of oil that is in the Bible, where they begin pouring the oil and the Lord continues to fill it. And I feel like my story being on the field has been that way as a missionary, but I also know that these pastors have felt that same way, where their prayer is, Lord, just let me get through this week. Lord, provide for me what you have. And the Lord has been so faithful in that. But how much more impact could they have if they had a week to prepare, or a month, or if they had the Bible training that they need in order to continue the work? And so my question for you today is, will you join in some way to help support these pastors, either by praying or by giving financially, or maybe even coming to visit and encourage them personally? If you would, there's the clipboard, there's a QR code on the screen that you can scan, and there are other ways to do that, so please get a hold of me. But this is just one of the many stories that I could share, and thank you so much.
I'm getting old. I just stood up and said ow at the same time. Thank you. All right, thank you, Hannah. As a bivocational pastor in my past, that is a huge, that hits home. It does. It is very difficult to have a full-time job, have a family, and try to lead a congregation. You're very, very right. Now, this next missionary is in a very unique spot, and it's one of my favorite spots. As a discipleship pastor, it's one of my favorite spots that people can be in. People think or look at me weird how I react when they come to me and say, the Lord has asked me to leave my job, and I have no idea of where the Lord is sending me or asking me to go. And I say, yes. And I like jump up and I get all excited. And they're like, what? I'm angry and confused and I'm upset and I don't know what I'm doing. But I love it because there's just such a huge opportunity for God to do something amazing in the next step or the next chapter of this person's life. It's one of my favorite things to help people navigate through. And I just stole her whole presentation, so let's go home. Sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Welcome, WGM missionary Holly Muehlheisen.
Good morning. The first time I was here at Taylor County Camp was 2009, and I was just a very young missionary getting ready to go out to Japan, and I have been there for the past 14 years. Actually, I need to correct myself. That was my first time here as a WGM missionary. I have been here before as a child, tagging along with my parents. But the past 14 years in Japan have been such a blessing to me, and the last time I was here, 2018, I was getting ready to go back to Japan. I ended up going back in 2019, and very shortly after I got back, COVID hit, and that changed a lot of our ministries. Past 4 years have been a little tricky for me, been a little difficult, and this spring, as I was praying about changing ministry in Japan yet again, the Lord began to speak to me and said, you're not going back to Japan. And that is a very difficult message to hear when you love the place you're ministering in and you love the people you're ministering with into. I had plans. I had ideas. I had a love that the Lord had put in my heart, and I had spent a long time learning the language. And I was asking God, what on earth are you doing? I'm finally getting good at this. What's your plan, Lord? But he's got one. He hasn't revealed it to me yet, though. So I am in the middle of that messy in-between transitions. It's almost like a midlife crisis here. And if you've ever changed jobs, and if you've ever found yourself transitioning out of one place and going someplace new, very much like Abraham is being told, go where I will send you. That is where I am right now. However, the past 4 years I have been in Japan. The past 14 years I have been in Japan. And so today I want to tell a story from Japan. I think we have a picture I want to share. This is Chiemi, Yukako, and Miku. Chiemi is a believer. She loves the Lord. She goes to her church regularly, serves as part of the young adult ministry. She works with the kids. She has a love for the Lord, and she has a love for her community. She wants to see them come to know the Lord. Right after I went back for my first full four-year term, I was contacted by her pastor and her pastor's wife, and they said, we want to start an outreach to young mothers. We see a need for these women in Tokyo who don't have any connection, don't know anybody. They're stuck at home all day with small children, and they don't have a community, and we want to start providing that. And we're going to use English as our excuse because they want their kids to know English. They want their kids to get a little bit of a heads up on schooling, a heads up on a future job. And so I was invited to come. And at first we thought we were going to get small children in the morning, preschoolers, and then we were going to get elementary school students in the afternoon. Our very first time, we ended up with an 8-month-old baby in the morning, and we ended up with a 3-year-old in the afternoon, and so we had to regroup. But it wasn't very long after we had started this when Chiemi learned, the lady in the back with the striped shirt, Chiemi learned that one of her high school friends had just moved to Tokyo because of her husband's job transfer. She had moved 200 miles away from her family, her support group, had a new baby. Grandma and grandpa and aunts and uncles are not around to help. She doesn't know anybody because this was her husband's job transfer. And Chiemi said, hey, you're not that far away. Why don't you come on Tuesday morning? My church has a mama and me English class. We have other babies coming, other mamas coming. Why don't you join us? I'll come when I'm not on shift and we can hang out together. We can get to know each other one more time. And so Yukako-san started bringing her little daughter, Miku. At the time that they started coming, Miku was so small that she wasn't even rolling over yet. She did her first rollover there on the floor in the basement of the church with Chiemi helping coach as the nurse. There was other volunteers from the church. There was one lady who was in her 80s, had had her kids, had had her grandkids, and she loved to love on those babies. One of the church members, sweet, sweet woman. She would hold them and sing them songs while the mamas were doing other stuff, preparing food or working on one of the crafts we had. We had the pastor's wife there. We had a young man who was in college but loved kids. He would come and just help out when he wasn't in college classes. And Chiemi would come when she was not on shift. We had a full group of people in that little bitty basement of the church. And Yukako-san and Miku found their community. It wasn't very long before Christmas was coming, and it being their first Christmas attached to a church, that's a huge time for the church in Japan to do evangelism. The pastor's wife invited Yukako and Miku to join the church operetta. They do a program every year at Christmas time, and they let those little babies be the angels. And she said, we've got a costume. Why don't you come and join us? You don't really have to do much. Just show up for practice Sunday morning. We start at 11 o'clock, and then we'll have lunch together. Why don't you come and join us? Because service is at 10. And it's right after that they would do their practices. So they started coming to not the service, but the after service to practice. And Miku was an angel that first year, just beginning to toddle around. She was one of the little angels. Can I have the next picture, please? This is a couple years later. That first angel in the first row, that's Miku again. She's a couple years older. She's probably about 4 or 5. And her mother is the one on the far, far side of your screen in the second row. That's their Easter operetta. They had grown through the years with that church. They had begun to build a relationship with that church. That is a challenge in Japan, to ask somebody to come to a church service. There's a lot of distrust of the church. We're in the heavy minority, less than 1% Christian. And so there's a lot of questions about, are these people okay? Are they weirdos? Are they a cult? I'm not a Christian. Can I even go in that building? Am I allowed to go there? And there's a lot of these uncertainty, and it can be a hard ask to invite someone to come to your church service. But because she had built such a strong relationship with the pastor's wife, that older lady in the church, that college kid who came to church, with Chiemi and her friends, she was no longer a stranger. She was no longer a guest. She was one of us. She knew where the bathroom was. When she came in on Sunday morning, somebody said, "Hey, how are you doing? How's your husband? How's Mika-chan doing?" They knew all about her family. They knew her name. And so she began to get more and more involved in that church. That Sunday that they had their Easter program was the first time I had been able to attend that Easter program. My Sundays were a little bit busier, and I was rotating around, and I had something else that Sunday every month, and so I took a special Sunday just to go see it that year. And I was beyond blessed to see Yukako-san standing as one of the soloists in one of the songs, raising her hands with the others, singing about how God and how Jesus had changed her life and made a difference in her life. And little Miku was holding onto her mom's skirt and watching her and imitating her. And Yukako-san was not a Christian yet. In fact, I don't believe she's a Christian yet, but she is a regular at that church. This is years down the road, but she is still a regular part of that church. She serves in that church. She attends worship in that church. She brings her daughter to church. Her husband comes occasionally, but she and her daughter are faithful to that church. That is their church. That's their pastor. Those are their believers who are their friends. And they know when they have a struggle where they can go for prayer. They know exactly who care for them. And it's not just the people in the church. It's not just Chiemi. It's the Lord who they serve that cares for them and loves them. And she's not a believer yet. And I hate that God's pulling me away before I can see that happen. God's not finished with Yukako-san yet. God's not finished with Chiemi and the way that she was able to reach out to her friend yet. And I know that God's not finished with me yet. As I'm in this middle of this transition and I'm going to a place where I don't know where I'm going yet, I am trusting that the Lord will place me in a similar position again. My calling from the very beginning, before I even knew I was going to Japan, was to partner with the national church, to partner with believers and pastors to help them reach out to their communities in creative ways. And I'm trusting that wherever the Lord has for me next, it'll be along those exact same lines, and that there will be other Chiemis and other Yukako-sans and other Miku-chans that I will be able to help introduce to the Lord, that I'll be able to help partner with them to help them introduce the Lord to their neighbors, to their friends, to their coworkers, to their families. Thank you so much for the many years of support you've had for me here at this camp. It's been 14 years since I went to Japan, and Taylor County Camp has been with me for 15. And I'm trusting and praying that you'll be with me in the future. What I'm doing right now, Hannah, I know, is raising a lot of her support to go back to Paraguay. I am actually not knowing how much support I need to raise because it depends on what country I'm going to. I know I'll need to raise some, but what I'm really looking for is, I'm starting from scratch in a new country, and so what I'm looking for is the funds to help me go back to language school. And I've been asking, I'm getting a variety of numbers depending on the country, but it's looking like it's about $7,500 is what it'll cost in general across the board, and that will fully cover language study for a new country. It is very important to me to be able to speak into the language of the people who I'm ministering with and to. Yes, a lot of my ministry has been English ministry over the years, but if you want to talk to somebody and get to the heart of what's happening, you speak in the language of their heart, and that is important to me. And even though I'm a little older, I'm a little bit concerned about my brain's flexibility to learn another language. I'm going to give it my best shot, and I'm going to trust the Lord, who has control of every tongue and knows every language, is going to give me the gift. So thank you again for your 15 years of support, the way that you have had my back, the way that you've had all your missionaries' backs. But more than anything, I want to encourage you to let you know that there are Chiamis and there are Yukakos and there are Mikochans whose lives are being impacted because of Taylor County Camp.